There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Namaste, yogis. Happy New Year. Happy 2017. It's absolutely amazing because that marks 1 year of the Yoga Revealed podcast. We're at 250,000 subscribed listeners worldwide, and we're absolutely honored to have you on the podcast today to listen to an interview of Amy Roski and Indy Rishi, who are both accompanying me on my trip to India. I'm going to India with Yoga for Change. We're doing a full-on retreat that is inclusive, allowing us to go to the Taj Mahal, the Bodhi Tree, the Ganges River, and so many immaculate places in India. But for right now, tune into this exciting interview with Amy Barsky and Indy Rishi. Namaste, yogis, and welcome to another absolutely wonderful episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. I am very blessed to be seated amongst two amazing yogis, two people who I call my peers, my colleagues, my friends, and amazing loved ones. The one and only Amy, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Andrew.
Awesome. And Rishi, how are you feeling?
Oh, man. I was like just thinking, you just said one and only, right?
Yeah.
Like, what if there's like many Amys?
Oh, there's plenty.
There's only one Amy.
What if there's like many Amys within one Amy?
There's many, many parts to
this Amy. Or even you too. It's like many parts of you too.
Very much so. But I'm really excited to be gathered here today to talk about our paths and also to talk about our future towards India.
Yeah.
India, oh my God. That hits a root. It hits some roots for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taps. Beautiful.
It like rubs the roots of the tree, you know?
Yeah. Warms you right up.
It does. I'll tell you what, you guys have never been there, right?
No.
And I gotta tell you, like, I wanna share that experience with everyone and like to know you guys who are so... You guys are so like in. You guys are wrapping the Indian culture. You're in. You know what's it called?
Embracing.
Well, your tentacles are like wrapped around it. You haven't gone to the source yet.
Yeah.
We're engulfed in it.
Yes.
We haven't actually been immersed.
Yes. There we go.
That's it right there.
Perfect.
That's the spot. Yep.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this trip, simply because I have literally been changed by yoga. And to think that yoga's birthplace is India,
mm-hmm.
the culture that's
yes.
there, the amount of lineage that's there, to think that
you know, Patabi Joyce and Krishnamacharya and Iyengar were all in this place, yeah. this mecca of culture,
mm-hmm.
where yoga first sprung its legs.
Ooh, dude, can I throw out like a cool like a drop an idea?
Yes.
Can I drop an idea?
Please.
Drop it like it's hot. Go.
like these guys, Patabi Joyce and one of the teachers. Oh, you know, have you seen that yoga photo journal or whatever, that yoga
yep.
book,
mm-hmm.
where
yes.
it has that map of the
yes.
yoga teachers?
Yes.
Like just like all these cats, right? The way I've been thinking about it lately is that they're like all spiritual inventors.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like physical inventors, you know, like people who invent physical things like
sure.
TV and whatever.
Right, tangible
yeah.
items,
tangible
yes.
items. But they're spiritual inventors, they're social inventors.
Yes.
Like they create these like modalities of body and mind
mm-hmm.
and spirit that like move people towards connecting.
Yes.
To like something higher. Like they're always inventing.
That
yes.
is a really good way of
that
putting
is.
It. That's like the innovation of self exploration.
Damn. Yeah, on point.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I really like to start out. I mean, you're the girl in the room, so we're.
I'm the girl in the room.
with how your yoga journey first began.
Wow. My yoga journey, I think, well, my movement journey began as a child. Just always curious how to move my body and how to create shape and energy. And for me, it came through the experience of dance and gymnastics for many, many years. And as a competitive gymnast, it was a very isolated world in many ways because it was very internal. And then through that exploration became more dance focus. I was a ballerina.
Oh, wow.
For a long time.
Oh, where did your, like, did you study in school?
I did.
College?
I went, so I was a ballerina. I decided when I was, hit the box.
Oh,
I studied ballet starting at the age of 17 through 19, and I was an apprentice with a company in, back on the East Coast, and it took my body, I was very blessed because of my gymnastics background. I pretty much tuned into that skill of point shoes and dance. It was very natural for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the experience of the ballet world, I wanted to know more about modern and tap and other forms of dance. So I went to University of the Arts in Philadelphia. I got accepted there on a scholarship to dance there. And I went in as a ballerina, and I came out as a modern major. Martha Graham. I was all about Martha Graham. Yes. All about Martha Graham. I was all, yeah. And just dance to me was just the way to express myself. And then I guess about maybe 7 or 8 years later, I found yoga. And I didn't, as an East Coaster, I didn't know what yoga was there. I knew of it, but I didn't know.
New East Coast.
I know. Well, I don't know what it was. It wasn't, I was in a city. It wasn't. Philadelphia.
Oh,
cool. And so coming into LA, I had a friend of mine one day say, hey, you want to come take yoga with me? I'm like, sure. I've heard of it. I know what it is. I've just never experienced it.
Mm.
And I was stoned for like 24 hours on my own breath
yeah.
of consciousness of breathing and moving. I was like, oh, holy crap, what is this? Like just changed my life completely. And I haven't stopped since. So
wow.
It's just been a huge journey for me in a sense of being the student for many, many, many years. And then turning that now into teaching and sharing with others.
So at what point did you know that yoga was going to be part of your life?
Well, I think after I found it, I knew it was always inside. I think it was always internally brewing somewhere. But then to make the choice to make it a constant in my life, probably I'd say about 8 years ago, it became a constant. Whether it was, you know, taking classes or taking my own, you know, in the middle of the living room, throwing the mat down and doing my own practice,
mm-hmm.
it just became pretty vital to keep moving and to keep exploring it. So, and unfortunately, 4.5 years ago, I was in a very terrible car accident, and it had no mobility in my left shoulder, so I could no longer practice vinyasa flows, which was my practice for the most part. Then I turned to Kundalini yoga. A friend of mine said, hey, you should try Kundalini since you can't physically practice.
Yeah.
Go mental. Go into that internal
and
side. Holy crap. Now, Kundalini changed my life completely. I was also at that time in my life exploring myself internally. I had left a relationship that was very toxic to myself and to this other person, and I had to choose to step away. Mm-hmm. And Kundalini showed up in my life, and it was such an empowering tool that I don't think I could have survived without it.
Yeah.
I really don't.
And how did it empower you? How did you feel when you practiced?
Well, practicing at that time Kundalini yoga allowed me to shift my mental thoughts. I was in a very negative state. I was in a very vulnerable state. And it just allowed me to find the strength inside through my nervous system, through my circulatory system, through my each organ, each chakra, each connection, each breath, to move the things that were not serving me mm-hmm. as a human being, to remove the things that weren't serving me, to physically and mentally remove them from my thought pattern, from my ailments in my body. And just that was so empowering that I had to find a way to start sharing it.
Yeah.
So that's when that path started. So yeah, it's just been ridiculously a blessing and ridiculously life-changing. My life has completely altered in the past 5 years, and I just can't even, like, I can't fathom my life without it. So
that's an absolutely touching story, because I feel that for so many of us, yoga meets us at exactly the right place in our life. And when we attune to our yogic practice, it helps us to get rid of so much of the gunk in our lives that really is not useful to our progress, to becoming our purest self. And just time and time again, like, I feel so connected to the story of us having to go through all of the sadness, all of the disappointment, all of the, you know, bad relationships and just the gunk to get to yoga to realize how much beauty is within.
And yeah.
It's like, you know, washing away all of that.
Yes.
To finally get to, like, that pure gem that's right inside of our hearts. That
right.
We can fully shine full
and
with
yes.
the practice of yoga.
And there's sometimes where we as human beings don't realize that there are wounds from childhood, from moments in our lives or situations and circumstances that are still within our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come up at certain experiences, like you said, yoga shows up at the right time. Certain emotions show up at the right time. Certain memories show up at the right time to then go and heal what that wound was that's still kind of lingering in our bodies, in our minds, in our hearts. So then to remove that and to heal it, I should say, not remove, but heal and forgive and release and surrender to it has been an amazing gift that I've just been given and been able to share. So
there's so many, like, layers to that, right? Like yoga has so many layers, you know? It's like, and the more, like, I dive in more and, like, the more it's like, whoa, like, if there's Egyptian yoga, there's African yoga, there's Chinese yoga, there's, right? There's so many different kinds of yoga. And they're, like, really, essentially, they're the ancient martial arts. Like, they're, like, the healing arts
mm-hmm.
part. And maybe even martial arts isn't the right word. Maybe that was made up recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because...
ancient arts.
Yeah.
The ancient arts, you know? And their movement, the layers, dude. Like, it's like, you got your physical intelligence working,
yeah.
you got your emotional intelligence working, and then you got, like, this other intelligence that we can't define that's happening, you're connecting to as well. Like,
source
yeah.
intelligence.
That's
happening in intelligence. That's
a good
yes.
one. I like that. Source. Infinity intelligence.
Yep.
So tell me, Rishi, how did your yoga journey first begin?
Man.
I'm sure from, like, a little kid, you were born in yoga.
I'm like 110010, dude. I was, like, downloading.
Where were you born, Rishi?
I was born in Toronto.
Okay.
Canada. And then we left when I was really little. We drove across the country. and the Lincoln Caprice. Like, I still, I won't forget it because I remember being a little kid, my dad putting me on top of it and taking pictures. Like, me standing on this huge, long Lincoln Caprice, 1969.
Wow.
They're like airplanes, bro.
You know,
a big car, big iron, like, you know, strong cars.
Yeah, that thing went from Toronto to San Francisco.
Wow.
Right? So then we got, we moved to San Francisco, grew up there, but, you know, I never was into, like, I'm Indian, and I'm, you know, Punjabi Indian, Sikh, you know, from the northern part of India, and, like, I, like, knew my culture, but I did not know anything about yoga, and, like, there was no access to it, like, there was even no, like,
really?
I mean, I watched Ramayana, you know, Ram and Sita and all that, right? So I watched that as a kid. There was a series, like a 26 video series. So anything that had to do with storytelling, I read. And if there are books, I would read those books.
Mm.
Like,
you understood the culture.
I understood the culture, but I did not connect.
The practice.
I didn't understand, like, that there's even mysticism.
Wow.
Like, whoa. Like, you know, the moment that came into my life, the moment there was, like, this connection between the idea that there's this wonderful religion, these ideas, whatever, philosophy, and then there's a mystical aspect, there's science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, mysticism is science.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not, they're interchangeable, because at some point, some science was mystical at first.
Mm-hmm. It's like magic. What did magic come from?
Right.
The sense of
science.
Which came from alchemy.
There you go, right? And, you know, we can even talk about, like, a TV. Do you, like, come on, if you show that somebody 1,000 years ago, they would be like, you're freaking a witch or something,
exactly.
Right?
An iPhone, right?
You
can see a person on this little piece of glass.
Right?
Well, I can see the universe, you know, I can see where we are in the galaxy.
Exactly.
So, you know, we got to think, what is science, what is mysticism? And mysticism is, like, that intersection of, like, religion and science.
Mm.
You know, and for me, that's where things changed. It took me, like, falling on my face, like, dropping out of med school, like, going the Indian route, you know?
Yeah.
Traditional India, and dropping out of med school, getting totally... Can I say F word?
Yeah.
getting totally blessed. I got so blessed. You know, like, the universe, whatever, blessed me so good.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a blessing. But that blessing is why, like, I got, like, I had to go down.
Yeah, we have to, though.
That low point, you know, was that real, where I actually listened to them. Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, there is practice involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't, it's not just gonna come.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to, like,
mm-hmm.
do something regularly and
mm-hmm.
do it actively and start, you know, being mindful about that
mm-hmm.
practice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things change.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the whole thing opened up.
Yeah.
Because I love reading fantasy books as a kid and writing. I used to do all kinds of storytelling as a kid. I love reading. I lived at the library, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this was, like, a whole new library section,
mm-hmm.
dude. Like, it was with, like, more shit than life books.
Death.
Like,
yeah.
That crystals, we got instruments, we got
right.
people. There's like people. Oh my god!
So tell about your laughing yoga though.
The whole laughing yoga.
Yeah, how did that evolve for you? Like, how did that?
Laughing yoga is funny. I mean, I'm a scientist, like, at heart. You know, I'm super curious. When family members, you know, like, everybody, all the Indian kids would be like doctor, lawyer, engineer. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Doctor, lawyer,
yeah.
engineer. I was like, I want to be an inventor.
It's ingrained in you, huh?
I said inventor, dude. It's like, I still look back at that. I'm like, holy shit, what the hell was I thinking? Because there's no path.
Yeah.
There's no clear path.
There's no clear path for the adventure. The innovation comes from the idea of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then through discovery, you have to be creative.
Yeah.
And to be creative, you have to go against the grain.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so true. It's a tough one, right? It's a tough path to choose, right, when you're a little kid. So, you know, it really, like the past, you know, 10 years of my life as an adult, I saw, like, I looked around. I lived in New York, and I lived in Florida, and been to India, went to Sri Lanka, been to different places around the world, and lived there, too, you know? And what I've found is there's so much suffering. And, like, one of the primary, like, concerns that I find, like, just, like, as a scientist, observational-wise, is the people who are causing any sort of distress anywhere, the ones who are causing distress,
mm-hmm.
they are not laughing.
Mm.
Like, I'm not even talking just from a community place, like,
yeah.
in a family, like, you know, the one who's, like, the not laughing enough is the one who's causing the problem.
Yeah,
the drama.
Mm-hmm. They're stern.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to keep themselves from their, what I would call, internal nature, which is their bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or inner child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm on a mission, like, man, I got it. I have wonderful teachers like Alex Einhorn in New York who, like, have taught me to teach laughter as a science. mm-hmm. not just as a practice or some spiritual or like some silly goo goo
right.
of stuff, right? But it's actually science. We're actually doing science. We're tapping into something that we already have. But then let's also understand what it does. Like, you know, like, did you notice when you did the Kundalini stuff, you started actually paying attention to, like, what's happening in your body, your breath, what's happening
yes.
in your circulatory system, your dead. If you start paying attention to all those things, I mean,
yes.
that's the secret, right?
Well, like you said the word earlier, mindfulness. It's choosing to be more mindful. Choosing, when you were in your toughest of toughs, when you were so blessed, right, to say, I don't want this anymore. I want something better for myself. I'm choosing more mindfulness, more thoughtfulness to get myself to a better place because I want bliss. I want to achieve and to feel bliss 24/7.
Yeah. So in your path, then I'm sure that you became more attuned to how instrumental laughter is in uplifting spirits and mm-hmm. also bringing forth a positive outlook, not only on your day, but also on your life.
Yeah, totally, man. But sometimes I do feel a little crazy, though. I do reflect. I'm like saying that, like, I'll be on an email to somebody about doing laughter somewhere. I'm like, am I really, like, doing this? Like, I was in med school. Like, I was. I remember studying. I'm like, this is, like, for reals?
Yeah.
Like, this is real?
This is real.
Really?
Like,
hey, someone's got to make people laugh.
Yeah, might as well be
Seriously.
You. You're good at it. You're good at what you do.
I mean, I always say you said a wonderful word, instrument, right?
Yeah.
Instrument. Like, I always, one of my biggest, deepest, I'm going to, like, share something that's, like, deep, you know, like, it's hard to share what your inner meditations are, right? There's different ones, right? You can't verbalize them. But this one is very clear. How can I be the best instrument for the divine? Like, how can I serve the creation as an instrument myself? Because,
mm-hmm.
like, and like, oh my God, like, I love laughing. Like, you know, I would take laughing any day about anything over any other feeling.
I love laughing too.
Yeah.
I even laugh when I have sex, dude. Like, it's
well,
awesome.
It should, because
yeah.
we should. It's fun, it's exciting. It should be laughter.
Know,
it should
know,
be less
did you know men,
serious.
Did you know men can control their ejaculation by laughing?
Oh.
Drop it like it's hot, yo.
Drop it like it's hot.
So, like, if you laugh, you'll breathe more, so you'll actually you'll hold in the ejaculation. So
wow.
It's like a little trick, but it's laughter. Like, what? Like, do you understand? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Paying more attention.
Exactly. Being more mindful. More mindful.
That's awesome. So, I
it's not one of those shows, dude. Are you trying to contract?
Hey, we can do whatever we want.
The beauty of the
yes.
Revealed podcast is I've actually interviewed a tantric doctor. If you go back a few episodes
Ooh.
With Sam Isadora,
mm-hmm.
she's absolutely incredible.
Does she laugh?
She does laugh. She laughs a lot, actually. She
mm.
and she talks about orgasms and how important it is to have a sense of playfulness in
yes,
sex life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. So we can go wherever we want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I want to really touch on, Amy, with how your teaching evolved when you came into this place of actually teaching from experience. Like, going through that and then finding yoga and then practicing Kundalini and how that has evolved in your teaching today.
There was a point where I was, one of my mentors, his name's Dan Ward. He's a yoga instructor over at, he's at Brian Kess Yoga, Power Yoga, and he's at a couple different studios. I practiced with him for most of my practice, at studio and a couple of the places. And he kept telling me, why aren't you going through the certification? Why aren't you getting yoga certified? Why aren't you teaching this? Why aren't you teaching this? Why aren't you teaching this? And I was like, I was afraid. The wall was so high, it was the Mount Everest to me.
Mm-hmm.
To teach yoga was Mount Everest. I was like, blessed, no.
Oh.
I was like, no way. The Sanskrit freaks me out. The responsibility of teaching this to another human being and giving them that gift of exploration in a yoga format just scared the crap out of me. I was like, no way, no way. But yet at the time I was teaching other things. I was teaching dance, I was teaching gymnastics, I was teaching Pilates, I was teaching like health and wellness through your body and fitness ways, but not
yeah.
yoga to me was this whole, I don't know, elevated sacred thing. And so I think that was some of the fear. And then the other fear was, well, now if I teach, then I'll stop practicing. Because I saw that a lot of teachers do. They start teaching and they practice less because you're trying to find the balance between all of it. And I understood that. So I think it was a little fight between holy frickin' frack, that's scary, and oh my gosh, I might not ever have it now for myself because now I'm just giving it. I'm never in that, right. So I think that was one of the things I was dealing with. And then finally, one day I said, you know what? He had a thing up on, I think maybe Facebook or what, I don't even know. I just saw that he was hosting another teacher training. I'm like, for some reason, I was like, now's the time.
You could feel it.
Just now's the time. I don't know why. There was no like revelation or angel singing saying, oh, you need to do this now. It was just like, yeah, it was just like, I saw it and I said, yeah, okay, let's do this. I called him up and I said, hey, do you have space in your class? I see it starting in a few weeks. Great. Okay, great. Let's do it. And so that journey started and haven't looked back.
Beautiful.
And that turned into couple years later, acro yoga came into my life. And acro yoga shifted my life almost as much, maybe if not more, than Kundalini.
Wow.
Kundalini was a personal shift in my internal shift of figuring out who I was as an adult, who I was as a human being, who I was as a woman, who I was and what I wanted in my life and in my relationships and the people around me, where acro yoga then got to elevate that feeling of now I get to actually work with other human beings in that connection and go, okay, trust. Because trust was nope, didn't communicate well, didn't trust well. And it was a real issue for me personally on a personal level. And acro yoga has now allowed me to find that it is okay to trust other human beings and we are not perfect. Myself or my partners or whoever I'm practicing with. And it's okay. It's okay to...
That's why you work together.
Yes. And then...
better together.
Yes. And to sort the words of we and us versus I and you. You know, saying, yes, we can do this. And yes, let's try this together versus, well, you did this and I did that. And who's taking the blame and who's responsible? Yep. And it's, no, this is a we. This is a we practice. This is an us practice. And that has allowed me to really shift as far as relationships on all levels between my family, my friends, and any romantic partners. So that's just been, acro yoga has been an absolute gift in that world.
Wow. I just like had a revelation that I'm going to create a class that's called We Can Do This.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice.
Because that's such a strong concept, is that, you know, alone, the path is a lot harder. And together, it is so much more rewarding.
And fun.
Completely fun. Yeah, that's... I was actually thinking about it the other day. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who teaches meditation, and he was like, oh my goodness, I just saw this magazine cover and you were on it for the acro yoga. And I was like, oh, well, that came out in March, you know? He's like, there was a whole pile of them at this meditation place that I go to. And I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty wild. He's like, yeah, and I went to go teach and then I started reading the article afterwards and I was there for, you know, a good hour after class until the next meditation came and I was like, I got to do some acro yoga because although meditation is wonderful and it's great to sit down, he's like, the way that you wrote about how connection occurs when you have a full experience of being in a relationship with someone of which you have to achieve something together.
Yes.
He's like, absolutely. You can achieve something alone, but how do you share that with others?
Could that be like the next evolution of relationship? Like that, like, you know, because everything evolves, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what if, like, marriage, like, the way we've done marriage and relationships for a long time is not the most efficient? Maybe it is that, and it might even help not have as many babies, if you think about it. Because if people are getting together to achieve something, it might not be to have a baby most of the time.
Yeah.
It might be, like, actually do something, make a difference in the world, build a farm, do something. I mean, who knows what people want to do.
Yeah, do some
acro yoga. Acro yoga. Keep it simple, right?
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, acro yoga is just an opportunity to explore in a safe space. And I think that's really important. And I am very fortunate to teach most Acro Yoga classes in a beginning level, in a beginning stage, mm-hmm. most of the classes I teach are introduction or fundamentals. And I use the word fun because that's what it is in the dementals part. But because I think that people are afraid to touch another human being, to physically and emotionally and connect and breathe together and move together. It's scary. And to see the joy on their faces when they actually do it, they're like, oh my gosh, I did it! And it's just, it blows my mind away because I was them.
Yep.
And I know that experience, so I can go, oh, like we can just revel in it together and just be like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And it's so, in some ways, simple. Mm-hmm. It's so simple. Just to say yes, and can you help me straighten out my arm? Yes, and can you push your foot longer? Yes, and can you... And then there you go, and next thing you know, you're flying and strong and high as a kite, and I don't know.
You know what's interesting? Most of, like, any type, especially, like, Acro Yoga is a really good one, but, like, many kinds of really good yoga done in the right way, they really break down the they break down the walls that we build around our, like, our truth, like, their true inner self, you know, or maybe the inner child, or whatever you want to call it, right? The walls that are built around that, like all these practices, break them down. Like when we interact with somebody in an Acro Yoga situation, big time, it breaks down some wall, big walls.
Big
for some
walls.
People. I find like when people laugh, like holy cow, sometimes I see it like falling in front of me with their, what's happening with their face and how they're letting go, right? You too, oh my God, I'm sure you've like come across so many people because you've been with people for a few days too.
Yes.
Seeing them change, right? And
the transformation that happens at an Acro Yoga retreat is immaculate. And that's why I am so excited for this trip to India because we are going to be doing Acro Yoga together in India.
Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Kids.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I understand how crazy that is, but do you know, you guys understand that that's not allowed?
Oh, it is now.
And now we're going to be doing it, you know? Like, we're, like, going to bend the rules.
We're going to bend the rules.
Tell us, I mean, I haven't really heard a perspective of how important the Taj Mahal is in the Indian culture.
I mean, Taj Mahal is important, but it comes from a period of time where there was a lot of it was an imperialistic takeover of India, right? So it comes from like an outside king.
Mm-hmm.
So Taj Mahal is from like an outside king's like representation of India.
Wow.
There's another place that I'm very close to, the Golden Temple.
Okay.
In Punjab.
Okay.
Which is like a golden temple which feeds 200,000 people every day for free.
Wow.
Everything is donated. People volunteer their time. It's gold. It's made of gold. There's a moat around it. It's like, whoa, right? But I mean, Taj Mahal is cool too. It's beautiful. Like it has such a beautiful view. And it's really nice kept and it's marble and all this stuff.
It's a piece of history.
But that's like
right?
a mausoleum.
Yeah.
Versus like a place that's like people come. It doesn't matter what religion you are.
Right.
It's not even a pillar. It's like, dude, is there any place in the world where anybody can come and you can eat whenever you want. You can come there and sleep whenever you want. And it's blessing gold. It's like gold. Like, what? Like, it's like open. It's out there in the world, you know?
Wow.
Like, so, but anyways, there's many places like that in India. Like, we're going to be stopping at places that are like, that are so epic.
The Bodhi tree? Have you been there before?
I haven't, dude. I'm so excited about that, man.
That's
oh my gosh.
That...
Yes. That's something I'm really looking forward to.
Just like sit there.
And I really want to stick my feet in the river. I'm excited to be the Ganges River, you know? Just to be in that place and feel that energy and that vibration.
Make sure you have some peppermint.
You know? I just... To really... It feels that from the history I've read about that particular place... And what's going on and what goes on, ceremonies on all levels, on all kinds of, you know.
Ganges.
Yes, it's just really exciting to.
We're going
to
crash them. Like, I'll tell you what. Like
I want to witness a wedding. I want to witness a funeral. I want to witness a birth.
I'll tell you what, it's actually easy to do it. Like, because, like it's, we're coming from such a place that they, like, will be like, come. And that's how Indians are. Like, if you come from that place of curiosity, oh my God, easy. So that we also like that's. I think that's a big part of what we're this journey that we're on is a curious one. Because I don't know about you, bro, but if something gets my curiosity, I'm gonna be like, stop the
front.
We're getting we're rolling,
right.
You know. Because we kind of gotta be like that's a part of making something epic, you know, and connecting with real people.
Well, curiosity is how we grow. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not curious about something, how are you going to learn about it to then go in and tune into that and go, oh my gosh, and then go and share it? Yeah, totally. That's how we grow.
It's fun.
How did Acro Yoga come into your life, Andrew?
Oh, wow. Acro Yoga was first introduced to me by a good friend of mine who, when I moved to San Luis Obispo from LA, I was, you know, studying, and I started teaching yoga. And there was a friend who had just, you know, started doing some Acro Yoga in the park. We did a little bit of Acro Yoga at the end of my teacher training, and immediately I was like, I gotta try more of this. So I would go and try different things with my friend Kristen Ray, and we would just, you know, experience different poses and kind of look things up. And it wasn't really profound until I went to Seattle. And I realized in Seattle that there were not many communities of conscious people doing fun things. When I went to Seattle, it was so cold that you just didn't go to the park. You didn't just, like, go run around and hop to the beach. There wasn't that type of experience,
right,
or there wasn't that type of environment. And soon enough, I got to the point where I realized that I really need to have a community. I really need to have people who I know and I can trust. And I just started going to this yoga class, and a good friend of mine who went to the yoga class was like, hey dude, what are you doing tonight? I was like, oh, you know, I'm just going home. I was literally going home, working from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 p.m. and then after work going to yoga. That was the extent of my life in Seattle. A very dry, dreary, rainy part of my life. Dry in the sense of fun. And I finally decided to go with my buddy Daryl, and we went to this, like, late night Acro Yoga / like circus arts. It was like Tari's, basically. Okay. Imagine Tari's, which is a good friend of ours. He used to do Elegant Acro here in Hollywood, actually. It was similar to that, a very intimate party where everyone was just helping each other do different things. So you got handstanders in one corner. This is at a place called Ohm Culture in Seattle, and it was right near my house in Wellingford. And
that's,
I was like,
cool, dude.
Oh,
that sounds
goodness.
Fun. Just like
I went in there, and for the first time I realized that, like, regular old people who don't know each other will happily try things with each other. Like, you could just go up to someone and be like, hey, like, I want to try that, and point to what another person was doing, and they'd be like, yeah, let's try it. Like, how often does that happen? You don't go on, like, the street and, like, you see someone, like, getting an ice cream cone and, hey, let's try that.
No.
You know, like, you see, like, a couple, like, in a park walking their dog. Let's try that. No, people don't do that. And
awesome.
The fact that people were so open to trying things, especially new things together, was just like a mind-blowing part of my life that really helped influence my creativity. And the more that I would go, the more creative I was in my yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the more creative I was in my yoga practice, the more that I wanted to try more stuff in Acro.
Okay.
And it wasn't until I really moved to Santa Monica, actually, that my friend Koya Webb introduced me to the Acro Yoga Green. And if you ever come to Santa Monica, you must go
yes.
to the Acro Yoga. You must. It's an obligation. It's the most beautiful gathering of about 300 yogis from all over. There's people from Norway visiting, people from Russia visiting, people from Thailand visiting, all practicing Acro Yoga and learning how to do things together. And when I went there, my eyes were completely changed in the sense of what a yoga community looks like. Seriously.
Yeah.
Everyone openly helping one another to achieve their goals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Physical, mental, and spiritual.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've met some of my longest, awesome friends, whether it be Julio or John or Caitlin, who I now live with. Like, I met them all at the Acro Green for the first time.
That's cool.
Yeah, pretty wild. I think that, Amy, I think we actually met at the Acro Green too.
I think we did. We went previous at the Goddess event through Nick Spano.
We did.
And that's where we played acro.
That was the first time we did play.
And we were in it was all in silence, remember? Because yep. you were one of the...
Yeah, I flew you.
Yep.
I remember
yep.
that.
Yep,
that was awesome.
Yeah, I remember that. And then I think, and then not too long after that, we were at the green.
Yes.
No, the Santa Monica Green is just, you know, old Muscle Beach is been around forever. If you talk to any of the old school guy like Ernie and stuff and all this, it's been around. Acro yoga's been around forever. It's just now becoming this new. It's just evolving into this ginormous. community of people who are just willing to have fun and experience physical and mental practice with another human being. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it really, we as a community are working hard to keep it, positive and safe, because tricks are getting harder and harder.
Yes.
Movement's getting more and more, complex. Mm-hmm. So we're now offering once a month, there's going to be free spotting classes.
Nice.
We've decided, a bunch of us have gathered together before the holidays. And so that's going to be, we have one February, I think it's the 11th coming up.
Yeah.
We're going to do our first spotting workshop for absolutely free. Everyone should come and enjoy. And I think it's just such a great opportunity to get together the community.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you go to a house party in our world now and people are just doing acro yoga and handstands. They're not drinking beer and yep. doing like beer pong and stuff.
Anytime you come to my house parties, that's it. Acro yoga, handstands,
yep.
and jacuzzi time.
And jacuzzi time. So what are you most excited about India, Andrew?
I would have to say that the majority of my excitement comes from the idea that we're going to be traveling to some of the most sacred sites. One of the most captivating ones that I can think of is the Bodhi tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because just to think that, you know, the Buddha, coming from his background of being Siddhartha, the prince, he was, you know, royalty, to then reach enlightenment mm-hmm. under a tree where he dropped into meditation and thus brought the teachings of truth to us all, you know, mm-hmm. bliss, of following our paths and finding our truth. It's just a really amazing concept. And the other thing that really excites me is the whole idea that this whole entire experience is going to be filmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so often that you go on a retreat. I was just in Barbados and I was at places that I wish I could, you know, take my, like a bird's eye view and just have people witness the beauty of real culture.
Right.
The beauty of, you know, watching a man, a Rastafarian man off the beach, sit there and literally mold a piece of sea kelp and mold the sea kelp into a bracelet. You know, just by burning it with a little candle.
Mm-hmm.
And like that type of experience is priceless.
Yeah.
And to think that we're having a documentary team, an award-winning documentary team from Netflix, come with us to film this retreat is going to be epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm really excited because, you know, being Indian, we say this. Desi is like the word for being Indian, you know, like D-E-S-I.
Mm.
And because like Indian is like not just Indian, like, you know, Pakistan and Bangladesh and all those places, they're all the same people.
Mm.
They just like created lines, you know, but originally Desi, you know, we're all like from the same place. You know, the interesting thing is that we're going to a place where most of those people that we're going to come across have never come across us, people like us.
Wow. That is crazy to think, too.
So even anybody, even the people going on this trip with us, they're going to have a very special role because they get to be a wonderful reflection, I guess,
mm-hmm.
for the people
mm-hmm.
as we're going through these villages, as we're going to these places,
mm-hmm.
as we're like on our journey, mm-hmm. as we stop randomly and join a wedding party or something.
Yeah.
Like, these people, they'll never meet anybody like us.
Right.
Ever. So, like, I'm excited about that, but I'm also nervous because that means we got to be, like, on our game, you know, like we gotta like not only be there for the people who are coming on the retreat with us,
yeah.
but we also gotta like we gotta really engage the people because we can change people's lives,
yes.
just by like an interaction, like one
mm-hmm.
little interaction
yeah.
might change their life, like
yes.
significantly,
absolutely.
And they're a little bit different than America, you know,
yeah.
like the different Like a little tweak can go a big way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that's holds so much value to this trip is that not just us as instructors and as, you know, kind of team leaders, is the people that are coming on this retreat are having an opportunity to speak their voice, speak mm-hmm. their mind, to speak their, to share their word of what yoga is to them mm-hmm. and have it documented and have it be a part of history. Like we're making history right now.
Yeah.
Like this is going to be a historical moment in time. You know, like,
whoa.
So for them to, and for all of us to be able to share what yoga is and how it's changed our lives and speak our truth of that practice.
Right.
And not just that practice, because I think some of us take yoga in, it's just a physical practice
mm-hmm.
or it's a mental, it's a physical, but I don't know, for me, in our, as a human being, it is so much more of value to be flexible in our mind and to be flexible in our hearts than it is to be flexible in our bodies, you know, and to be strong in our bodies. We've got to have that flexibility and strength from the inside, not necessarily just because I have muscles and I can do something, I can hold a handstand. What is that? Great. But the reality is it's the inside stuff, you know, it's the inside shifts that are going to happen for those who join us on this epic journey. And that's so exciting for me. One of my best friends is coming.
Aww.
And I can't, I mean, I'm over the moon about it. I'm over the moon about it. She is just, she's always wanted to go to India. We were trying to plan a trip together for the two of us to go, and just the timing never worked out, and this came up. And so for this to be a kind of arranged in a sense where we're safe at all times, you know, we're aware at all times, and we're kind of being taken care of for the most part and
yes.
feeling secure, because it can be scary, two women traveling through a foreign country. I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have those, that little bit of comfort to explore.
Somewhere.
Yeah, and Andrew will be there. That's right. But you know what I mean? Just having that sensation of going, okay, it's not just the two of us wandering aimlessly in a foreign country, but to feel a little more safe and be able to mm-hmm. then open up to our vulnerability to have the real true experience of, you know, exploratory
yeah.
connection with a divine country. I mean,
what a
place to be.
I gotta tell you guys, it's actually way safer than people make it seem.
Right.
That's usually how it is in many places
yeah.
outside of the U.S.
Well, I think us as Americans can be very guarded and protective.
But there's like silly like logical things. Like, I mean, there's places in America I wouldn't go to, you know? Like, shoot, you know?
You don't go to South Central after 8 o'clock.
I was just in Florida too. I'm like, there's places in Florida too. That you
yeah.
Can't
no,
go
they're everywhere.
So
there really is.
They're everywhere. So, you know, the thing is in India, like, it's just about being smart
yeah.
like, and about being with the group mm-hmm. and like because we have a group it's so much more powerful that way
yeah.
And it also like has we actually carry a responsibility we carry like a symbol right we're like a walking symbol
yeah.
and if we are like saying yoga for change like really we're instigating change with yoga
mm-hmm.
right so like we're like walking talking tools of yoga
mm-hmm.
disseminating
mm-hmm.
whatever we can learn
yeah
and so we're on this journey to learn so we're like even going to be meeting people like on the way who are like teachers from lineages from who knows when or whatever
right.
we'll just learn like we'll just ask questions and we'll learn more about how do we can improve our practice too,
yeah
each one of us
mm-hmm. absolutely
that's definitely one of the pluses is we're going to have the opportunity to meet some of the rishis and meet some of the gurus.
Did you say my name?
the sadhus,
yes.
the wise men, all
yeah.
of the people of whom have the lineage and have lived in India and have grown up there and have learned there and now are sharing their truths. It's going to be an absolutely incredible experience. Yeah.
Varanasi, right?
Tell them a little bit about what you're most excited about.
Whew, man. I mean, my favorite thing, what I'm so excited, you can tell I'm like going to repeat it over and over again. I can't help it. But it's connecting with the people there.
Yeah.
Like you guys coming and whoever comes on this trip, it's such a wonderful opportunity from my perspective to connect these people from outside of India to India, to the heart of
India.
You're
like our middleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like the conciliary, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Like, I get to like observe it. And because you guys are going to be taking some wonderful things with you, like the experiences, the people you meet, the exchanges of yoga and oh my God, so much stuff, right? Music, yeah. All this stuff, food, right? But you're going to be taking that. They're also going to be taking from you guys some
yes.
wonderful things. They're going to be taking some perspectives that they never had before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is, or how many times have you been to India?
Wow, like 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
And each time you go, is it significantly different?
Yeah, I've gone like different periods of my life and different periods of my life emotionally and psychologically too. So, some of my best experiences are being on the farm in India, just hanging out on the farm with the cows and the cows are like in the courtyard of the house. You just like go down and give them a hug.
I want to hug a cow.
You. They love you, dude. They're like dogs and cats, you know, in India and many places. And I like that. But then I also like getting lost in India, just wandering around a little bit.
Mm.
And who knows, you know, what shop you're like. I've been to like ended up at random shops, like random shops, but like hello, like a guy with so much wisdom. Or like a woman knitting something and we have an amazing conversation just because we opened a conversation up.
Do many of them speak English or is that going to be a barrier?
That's surprising. Even if they don't know English, they'll be able to communicate with you because, number one, we don't need language to communicate.
Right.
You know, right?
Yeah.
We can make sounds, like, you know? but we can make sounds and stuff, right, to like, communicate. But, like, there's a basic English because they do have TV and they do have stuff. So they'll, like, understand certain basic stuff.
Right.
To communicate. But a lot of people actually will be able to speak English because it's,
predominantly educated, right?
In fact, it's getting more. The millennial... India has one of the biggest millennial populations in the world.
Wow.
So a lot of potential there.
You hear that, Yoga Revealed listeners? That means we're going to interact with some Indian people. And what I'm super excited about is doing some yoga and teaching to the masses. Like just opening up classes and really allowing us to practice with the people there. Because we're going to come across some people with some pretty advanced practices, I'm sure. And then we're also going to come across some people that have probably never
done it in their
even
lives.
Practiced asana practice.
What is this? Acro yoga? Get on my back? Okay. I can already imagine like an old guy, like an auntie and an uncle, you know? And he's like, okay, come on over here. Come, get them. And she's like, okay.
I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So cute. She's going to bring the milk over to you, drink some milk, and then start doing acro yoga.
That's going to be great. It's going to be great. I think it's an opportunity for everyone who joins us to just be a part of change, be a part of evolution, of just being better human beings, you know, creating awareness and connection.
If you could give one piece of advice to a listener out there who perhaps wants to go on this retreat or explore India for themselves, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. I actually read this quote the other day. If I get it wrong, pardon me, but it's something like, don't worry about what can go wrong, worry about and get excited about what's going to go right.
Mm.
Right?
Very much so.
Just get on the bus and go. Just join it for the experience of each day to time.
Truth. And can you give us a parting quote of wisdom, Rishi?
Parting quote of wisdom.
That you could perhaps give to someone who is in the process of deciding to come with us to India?
I'll drop two things, but they're kind of related. One is never compromise your dreams.
Hmm.
Never compromise your aspirations, ever, right? Like never make an excuse to do something that's like going to be so powerful for you and for any other people too. Because that's when we do that, we get upset. But that's a whole, we'll go down the whole thing. So connected to that is, you know, if you don't go, if you don't go on this trip, you're going to end up watching it.
So, and then you're going to be upset you didn't go.
I mean, so that's why I say never compromise.
Yeah.
But this is an opportunity, whether you are yoga, you're into yoga, whether you're into spirituality, whether you're into travel, whether you're into like photojournalism, or whether you're into like connecting with organizations that can help and serve. Like there's so many avenues for this for you.
Yes.
And if you're even an entrepreneur, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity to get like, to maybe even serve the community in India, go out there and like be a part of this too and help out. Maybe you could donate something. Maybe you can, like, we already got an organization donating a uni, right?
Yep, uni beauty brand is actually donating all of us a lot of these special wipes. They're actually called the shower sheet, and it's a sheet that you could take literally a wipe down with and get fully cleansed.
Yeah.
Antibacterial. And it's so beautiful that we're giving these to the children of India, who obviously, you know, are impoverished and can also have dysentery,
dude,
and that kind of stuff.
Dude, they have these, like, camps all over the place where, like, most of the, like, the poor, they have, like, poor areas, like,
yeah,
the slums, right?
Yeah.
Dude, they don't have access to clean water. So
yeah,
giving them these, like, wipes, like, they probably haven't cleaned their face. I mean, you'll see what, like, it'd be so awesome. Like, you'll
yeah
see. And they're so beautiful. Like, they're such beautiful people. Like, to
mm-hmm
just give them an opportunity to feel clean.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that feeling?
Yeah.
Feeling, like, feeling clean all of a sudden?
Yeah.
That's
and then the other thing that we've got planned out is Dylan. And
mm-hmm
what they do is they build these amazing water bottles that also have a water softening and pH system in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really excited to just bring cantinas there so that the children
mm-hmm
can carry water from, you know, the river to their house. Because
yeah
imagine, like, that's, I'm sure, huge, is that not only is water scarce, but
it's
probably
not, pure,
not that
right
often that you can get, you know, your water in
yeah
a bottle and carry it from point A to point B.
No,
mm-hmm
not a reusable bottle.
Yeah.
Least,
exactly.
You know? That's,
yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, they're using like open container stuff, and like
yeah
so much is lost.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's the thing, you know, like, so yeah, is that pretty simple? If you don't come,
yeah,
you're gonna be watching it.
It's the truth.
Yep.
It's the truth.
So what are your parting words of wisdom, Andrew?
I would say that my parting words of wisdom are that life is an experience, and if we choose to experience it fully, then that means that we step outside of our comfort zones and we have the opportunity to take a risk. And when we take that risk, we grow immensely.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we're here for, is that immense growth. Going beyond ourselves to grow into the people that we are planning on becoming.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
come with me on a journey to India. Come with me on a journey, Amy. Blessings, Yoga Revealers. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And let it be known that we will be in India together soon.
Much love.
I thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview here today. I am absolutely grateful for each and every one of you who take this interview and actually do something with it. If you're planning your next trip to India, let me know. We've got an awesome agency that helps us bring change to India. So if you would like to go on this amazing retreat next time, let me know. We're planning it out now. As for Yoga Revealed, thank you for being along for the journey. As long as you are continuing to spread the light of yoga, you are an integral part of this community, and we thank you for that. My absolute gratitude goes out to each and every one of you. Continue to listen. Check out yogarevealed.com for upcoming events, festivals, and retreats that we'll be hosting this year. Much love, yogis. Live light, shine bright. Namaste.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.